Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Good evening. It is wonderful to be here with you this evening. It's always wonderful to stand before you any chance and opportunity that I get. And if you're visiting with us as well, we want to make sure that we welcome you here to the Graymere Church of Christ. We have a busy week ahead of us, as I'm sure you've heard, unless you've been out and about or sick. It's hard to miss that we're having giveaway day this Saturday, and we need as much help as we can get for that. And so we'll also be having our trunk or treat next Sunday evening. And as Fred prayed in both of those situations, I think that we will show those people kindness. It's a wonderful opportunity not only to fellowship and have fun, but also show those people in our community kindness as well. And so there's going to be lots of people there, both at giveaway day and at trunk or treat. But especially at trunk or treat, I know that it can get a little crazy and traffic can get a little bananas around there. And so we have lots of people helping to do that and to kind of direct traffic. And we're going to be moving that out to the back of the parking lot to have a little bit more room. And so we'll be publishing some stuff in the bulletin and be getting some word out about that. And we've already been talking to a great deal of people about that as well. But I know that we will do a great job, as we always do here, with showing kindness to others, both on Saturday and on Sunday evening, just as Andrew has been speaking about all month and as Fred prayed about tonight. Shifting gears just a little bit, tonight in keeping with our one-word topics, we're going to be talking about guilt. And I want to begin in Exodus 3, and I want to read a scripture from Exodus 3, chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, to kind of give our lesson tonight a prologue, if you will. Exodus 3, beginning in verse 13. Moses says here, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am,'" capital I-A-M, "'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord,'" that is Yahweh, "'the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all the generations." Subtitle of our lesson tonight is "God Says That I Am." God says that I am. God says that I am. That's a double meaning there. Well, I am what? Well, we'll get to that here in just a moment. Tonight's lesson deals with the topic of guilt. And guilt and insecurity are very close cousins. Guilt and insecurity will cause us to think differently about ourselves. It could prevent us from taking part in God's promises that he has for us in the future. It could even have us doubt what God can do. And so tonight we're going to explore what it means to be overcome with our own guilt, our own past failures, our own emptiness, our own fears. And hopefully we can learn to look at an example that we're going to look from the early chapters of Exodus and look how to overcome that with God's grace. We're going to look at Moses in the early chapters here. See how God spoke to him. God spoke promises into his life, even when he probably felt guilty and meaningless. There are lots of voices that compete for our attention this day and age. Ad agencies estimate that on the average day, you're exposed to between 1,200 and 1,500 advertisements every single day. That's walking around town. That's driving your car. That's looking on your computer, on the screen, on your smartphone. 1,200 to 1,500 voices that are vying for your attention every single day. They're competing for a place in your thoughts. But tonight, I'm here to tell you that the voice that you believe will determine the future that you experience. We must hear the right voices to get past our own guilt and past our own insecurities that we sometimes carry with us like this heavy backpack. So let's start in Exodus chapter 3, and I'd like to start back at the beginning of the chapter as we begin our first point this morning, or this evening rather. Exodus chapter 3, let's go back to verse 1. Let's read the first 10 verses here. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said to him, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and heard the cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Verse 9, And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. We may have heard this story 100 times. God is speaking to Moses through this burning bush. Did you ever think about, though, when you get to verse 11? Did you ever think about how sad it is when we get to verse 11? God says all these things, these grand things, and he's appointing Moses to this spot, but yet when we get to verse 11, it says this, But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? You see, this is a conversation. But God's voice isn't the one that Moses is hearing. Moses is listening to God from a burning bush, a sight that any of us would think is awe-inspiring, and he can't hear that voice. All he hears is the chatterbox of guilt and insecurity in his head. It's an almost instinctive response when we read this. He says, Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? We can relate to that, can't we? We can relate to, on certain levels, I know that I can on multiple levels relate to that. Who am I that God would choose me to do this thing? Who am I that God would choose me to preach to you tonight? Who am I that he would choose me to have such a role in such a church tonight? Who am I? We may say that to ourselves. Who am I? You want me to lead a song? You want me to lead a prayer? You want me to lead a ladies' devotional? You want me to do these things? You want me to talk to people about Jesus? I don't know if I can do that. Who am I to bring that to them? You can hear Moses' guilt and insecurity coming through. God says here, I am the Lord, and I am concerned for my people, and I am here. And all Moses can think is our first point tonight, and that is, I'm dysfunctional. That's all he can think is, I'm dysfunctional. Why does he think that, though? Why is Moses so resistant to this? Well, he says, I'm a murderer. Moses was a guilty as a murderer. You see, many years before God chose him, you have to rewind a little bit. We're going to rewind to chapter 2, verse 11, if you want to turn over there. Many years before God chose him, Moses tried to take matters into his own hands. And it didn't go well. He messed it up, just like so many of us do. And Moses was raised an Egyptian, but he was really a Jew. He was really an Israelite. And one day he just got sick and tired of seeing what he was seeing and seeing how his people were being treated. So this happened in chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens and saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, Why do you strike your companion? And he answered, Who made you prince and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? And Moses was afraid, and he thought, Surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. See, here, Moses let his past, when God is talking to him in the burning bush, he let his past eclipse his future. And God starts speaking to Moses many years later when he has fled Egypt, and he marries a Midianite woman here. And he starts working for her father, and he's doing honest, hard work, and then God starts speaking to him, and he's telling him to go and to save his people. And this guilt comes back to bite Moses. I killed somebody. And you can tell that when Moses, the language that's used in this scripture, you can tell that it wasn't something that was out of self-defense. You don't hide someone's body in the sand if it's okay that you did something in self-defense. So Moses knows he did wrong. He fled, obviously, and he was chased down. But he fled the land of Midian. And so he says, look at me. Moses says, look at me. I'm in hiding. I messed up. I'm guilty because I remember what I did. You know, Satan makes us say things to ourselves that he doesn't even have to say. You ever wonder sometimes, and I wonder this myself, do you ever wonder sometimes how God can know me so well and yet love me so much? I wonder that all the time. The next thing Moses said, I think, to himself is, I'm deficient. I'm deficient. We're going to stay in Exodus chapter 2 there for just a second. I want to bring up the picture here that's a little bit hard for me to kind of look at. That's the next picture on that. This is a picture of David's arm about 13, 14 months ago. He had this rash and basically all over his body. And I've spoken about it a couple of different times, and I've talked about how the diagnosis that he got was not necessarily some disease. It wasn't necessarily even allergies, although that was part of it. His actual diagnosis was failure to thrive. And it turns out that after that, we got another diagnosis that he had a zinc deficiency. And because of that one tiny little deficiency, he had this rash and was in pain and was, who else knows what, on his entire body. Let's go to the next slide, please. He had to have a nose tube there on the left. That was when he was actually in the hospital at Vanderbilt Children's. That was at the worst of the worst of when we first got him that nose tube. The following picture is 30 days later. And you can see the difference that just having what he needed in his body made a difference of. He's walking around, he's talking, the puffiness has gone away, his hair color has come back. It was within 20 to 30 days that he actually got back to normal just because he got something that he needed. And the next picture I just threw in for fun because, you know, we were having fun, and that was him like last month. He's thriving now because he has something that he was once deficient in. The definition of deficient is lacking something that is needed. When we think about this phrase up on the screen, I am never fill in your blank enough. I'm never caring enough. I'm never skilled enough. I'm never thoughtful enough. I'm never kind enough. I'm never fill in your blank. Not having enough of something. That's deficient. Moses here says, I'm deficient. He says, look, let's catch up with him just for a second and catch you up to speed here with Moses. He says, okay, look, I believe that you're speaking to me, Lord. This is what Moses is saying. He says, I see you in the burning bush, but the people are not going to believe that. They aren't going to believe me. And God says, fine, I'll give you three signs. Your staff, I'm going to turn into a snake. Your hand inside your cloak, I'll turn it leprous, and then I'll make it whole again outside your cloak. And your staff again can make water into blood. Then they will believe. You see, God can do remarkable things in our lives, and we still won't believe because of guilt and insecurity. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. I know we're skipping around a little bit, but we'll come back to our scripture. Verse 10 of chapter 4 says this, but Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. In other words, Moses is saying here, I'm not good at speaking, Lord. I can't do it. I'm deficient in this area. And then God says in verse 11, the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? You can almost hear his anger sort of welling up in the Scriptures. He says, who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. God says, who made you, Moses? I did. Because when you doubt the product, it insults the manufacturer. I always have to, I feel like I'm mentioning an Apple product every single time I get up here and speak to all of you. But when the iPhone 4 came out in 2011, 2010, something around there, there was an issue with this metal band around the phone. You see that little bitty dark place right there, and there were videos that people posted online of them putting their fingers on that dark area and the cell phone signal going, dropping out, going through the floor. And it turned out this did affect some iPhones, but it affected less than 1% of the iPhones that were out there. But the media took it and just went with it. And so everybody thought that they were affected. And it turned out to be something that actually didn't, matter. But days after its release, Steve Jobs had to get up there again and have a press conference and give free cases to anybody who needed them, because you could just hear the annoyance in his voice, when he said it. That this beautiful new phone that they had made had fallen victim to a media frenzy. There had to be something basically there to get them off of Apple's back. When you doubt the product, it insults the manufacturer. When we talk about guilt, guilt is not a form of humility. Insecurity is not a form of humility. It's not being humble. Moses isn't being humble here. He's insulting God. When you say I can't, and when you say I'm deficient in a certain area, you're not only questioning your ability, but you're questioning God's. Do me a favor, and I don't have a picture to back this up. I really wish I did. But do me a favor and don't check Instagram or Pinterest on Valentine's Day. Just don't do, especially gentlemen in the audience, especially don't do that. I was very proud of myself this past Valentine's Day. I got this jar from Hobby Lobby. And I had it like inscribed with something on it called 100 Days of Love. And I had index cards that I wrote out of little quips and quotes and favorite memories of things, so Bonnie could take one out every single day for 100 days. Valentine's Day wasn't just one day, it was going to be 100 days. And I was very proud of myself, right? Extremely proud of myself. I thought, man, this is the best Valentine's Day gift ever. And then I got on Instagram and I saw that my buddy had bought his wife a horse. And it was the most beautiful, majestic horse you've ever seen in your life. And I thought, I got my wife a jar full of index cards. Did that make me feel deficient? Yes, very much so. Does that mean I didn't love my wife, that I didn't love her enough? No. It's not what that means. The antidote for our guilt is getting back to the source. And God says it right here. He says, who made you? Read the scripture from Psalm 139 that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You read that every single morning and you will have that enough reason to never feel deficient in your entire life for anything. Moses is out of excuses here. He knows that God has cornered him in this discussion. And in verse 13, everybody look with me. In chapter 4, verse 13, he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Just get somebody else to do it, God. I can't do it. Last point we have this evening is that Moses says, I'm doubtful. We are watching a man here in the early chapters of Exodus wrestle with guilt while he's faced with the biggest task that you could imagine. And that is leading an entire nation of people out of slavery from a centuries-old oppressor with vast superiority. This was a huge undertaking. It was a huge job. And he's wrestling with this guilt. Chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Let's read. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak to you and for the people. He shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. Let me ask you a question. Could God have made him do this? Could God have made Moses do what he wanted to? Of course he could have. Of course he could have. I don't know why he didn't, actually. But Moses is incredibly doubtful of his own ability here. And he gets God to go along with an alternative plan. It's one of the very few times in Scripture we see God's mind changed. I see so many doubts in Moses that resonate with myself. I doubt myself in so many areas of my life. Nowhere in any of these passages, though, you think, and you can't read it, nowhere in any of these passages does Moses ever doubt God. As a preacher and as a teacher and as a minister, I've always just thought that Christians who were weaker, they just didn't believe in God's power enough. Right? You're not believing hard enough. You're not believing God more. You need to trust God more. You need to have more faith. You need to do these things. He is able, and all these other different things that we say to people who might be weaker than us. But for most of us, it's not God that we doubt. It's that we doubt God can do it through us. We don't doubt what God can do. We just doubt that he can do it through us. I don't doubt you, God. I just doubt whether I'm fit to be involved in what we're doing here. I don't doubt you, God. I just doubt me. You ever had somebody, young people, maybe not so young people, you ever had some people, when they're breaking up with you, they tell you that famous phrase, "It's not you, it's me"? It's not you, God, it's me. You don't want me for this job. Just pass me by. Just let somebody else have it. So how do we deal with our guilt with this? Moses is dealing with this guilt. And how do we deal with our guilt? How do we see past it and see what God has promised for us? Let's go back all the way to the beginning of the talk this evening, to Exodus 3, beginning in verse 13. And this is kind of the final thing. When he's talking to Moses, he's talking to him and he says this. He says, "Then Moses said to God," in verse 13 of chapter 3, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" Verse 14, "God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" Moses says, "Okay, say I go, God. Who do I tell them you are? What's your name?" And God simply says, "I am." God says, "I'm not the God who was, or the God who is to come. I am the God who is." He says, "I'm a very present help in a time of trouble." I read this in a book, and I want to mention this to you. Talking about this scripture, this guy wrote this down. He says, "I'm not just God when you're in high school. I'm not just God when you're struggling in relationships. I'm not just God when you're tempted. I'm not just God when you're going through a parent's divorce. I'm not just God when you're in financial trouble. I'm not just the God of your grandmother or grandfather. I'm not just the God of your mother or father. I am. Moses, I know that you're dysfunctional. I know that you're deficient, and I know that you're doubtful. But I am the God who fills in your blank. I'm the God that says you are enough. It's by that grace that we're saved. And it's this omnipotent goodness with which we can be confident in the future promises of God and sweep away our past guilt. Because God says that I am. Don't let yourself get in the way of serving God and seeing his glorious purpose for you in his life, in your life. The voice that you believe will determine the future you experience, and that voice needs to be God's. We have his voice sitting in our lap tonight. We have his voice in red, white, and black letters right between these pages tonight. Don't let yourself get in your own way. God's Son Jesus came to the world and gave us that saving grace, and you can be part of those promises. God can wipe away our past guilt. We don't have time to go into it tonight, but the whole book of Hebrews is a picture of what Jesus does with our guilt and our sin. Our past sins are inscribed on this stone, and then that stone is washed away. It's washed clean. It's wiped, and the inscription is gone completely. And when that stone is thrown behind Jesus' back so he can't see it anymore, it's not only thrown behind his back, but it's thrown into the deepest, darkest depths of the sea so that no one will ever see it and no one will ever remember it again. That's what he does with our sins and with our guilt. And we hang on to that guilt with white knuckles sometimes. And we won't give it to him. I invite you tonight to give it to Jesus tonight. Don't be bogged down or weighed down with your guilt any longer. If you need prayers tonight, if you need prayers from the congregation, if you need to be baptized tonight for the forgiveness of your sins and become a child of God, we can do that for you tonight. If you need to say that I believe in Jesus and that he saved me and I want to become one of his, you can do that tonight. If you have any requests, any needs this evening, why don't you come right now? While we stand and while we sing.